Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. Today, I am joined by Sensi Graves, who is a professional kiteboarder and founder of Sensi Graves Swim, a sustainable swimwear line that's made to move. In 2012, Sensi launched her eponymous swimwear label to meet the demands of her sport. After losing one too many string bikinis in the surf, she decided to tackle the job herself and design suits that actually stay on in rough conditions. She also produces and leads empowering women's kiteboarding retreats and travels the world as a motivational speaker. Today, Sensi focuses on expanding her sustainable swimwear brand and developing content that empowers, uplifts, and inspires. Hey, love.
Hello. When you read that, it sounds so good.
I'm reading it and then thinking of like two of my clients who are going to love meeting you. So I've got a client who's just started her own sustainable swimwear brand in New Zealand, again, awesome. Mostly for kiteboarders, and it's all about sun protection. And then I've got a couple of other people who are just going to love your stuff. So I want to make sure I put all the links in and do all of those things.
Thank you.
No problem. I'm like, yeah, it's so cool when our work allows us to meet people that we wouldn't otherwise get the opportunity to meet. Like, you know, I'm so happy that we have the internet.
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing, the connections. And there's so many positives with it, but you also have to balance the negative, right? With being inundated with just too much stuff.
It's a modern day phenomenon, which actually leads really nicely into my first question, which I ask everyone. And like, so the podcast is Adulting with Ebony. What does adulting or adulting mean for you?
It's quite funny you ask that, because the other day my brother just moved up to the city where I live, the little town where I live. And we went to go get him a bank account set up. And then we go to get his health insurance set up. And I was just thinking, I was like, I'm 32 years old, so I'm an adult. I'm very much in the adult realm. But as I was doing those things, I was like, everyone is just trying to figure this out. Like, no one really knows what you're supposed to be doing as an adult or how that actually feels. I still feel like I'm a small child. Yeah, I've got all these responsibilities, and yeah, I know how to get stuff done. But you kind of just put one foot in front of the other and see where it leads you. So adulting to me really just means kind of faking it until you make it. And honestly, just being willing to fall down and get back up again. So it's all just about figuring it out. No one really knows what's happening.
No. We were talking a little bit before we went live on here, but so I moved to Spain not that long ago. And I'm in the process of trying to buy a car. And so like, it's also asking for help sometimes, right? And like, I literally went in a Facebook group today and was like, when you buy a car here, what do you need? Like, how does it work? Like, what happens with the paperwork? And it's really interesting because some of those things are different depending on where you are. And so like, no one knows what they're doing, and the rules change everywhere you go. Like, one of the things here, when you buy a car privately, you inherit all of the parking tickets, all of the, like, everything, if it hasn't been paid. So you need to check, apparently. Now, I did not know that.
No way.
Yeah.
So you can get someone else's parking tickets for their vehicle? No way.
Yeah, because here it's the car that gets insured. Mm. And it's the car. Like, so I don't need to insure every single person. It's the car that gets insured, not the person.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so boring.
Yeah. But you bring up a good point, which is that we all need help. And I just listened to a small snippet of a TED talk, and I thought this was super interesting. And it was talking about the indicators of how long you're going to live. So they studied all these people over a period of time, and then we're looking at, you know, the indicators of who's going to live the longest. And the number one thing above diet, above exercise, above not smoking was social integration. Mm. And then the number two thing was close relationships. So social integration being how often you speak to your postman or the person that's making your coffee, you know, how much you actually integrate with the community around you. And your point is precise to how much we need other people's help and how much we are a social being and spirit and how much we really rely on one another. And that's okay. It's a good thing, in fact, and it's going to help you live longer.
This is a really interesting thing. I did not know we were going to talk about this today. So I can't even remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to someone recently about my dream, which is to buy a piece of land here and live in a community and to have my soul family all around me and for it to not be too big. And so I'm doing that, right? One thing, one day at a time. And I think it's the beginning of the future. And I think that more and more people are going to do it. Whoever I was discussing this with, and for the record, I want to keep it small and it's going to have like, you know, there'll be 10 of us max, 12 maximum, right? But I was talking to this guy. I can't remember who it was. So if it comes back to me, I'll share. And he said, it's the man who cut my hair recently. There we go. Social integration. He said that in the book Sapiens, they have studied what the perfect number of people for a community. And apparently...
150.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry to cut you.
Oh, I love that you know that.
Yeah, the tribal number, like the amount of close relationships we can hold is 150. And so when you get too much more than, and that's why humans work really well together, because we can have this vast number really of close relationships that help us collaborate and that's really help us build the society that we have today. But when you get above that number, you lack kind of that community feeling. And I know maybe you felt this way with just moving to Spain, where you don't quite have the community built in yet. And it's kind of like a thing in your heart, right? Where you know the people around you and you know you have each other's back. I think that was one of the things that really was the positive during quarantine, is I got to know my neighbors a lot better because everyone would be walking around the neighborhood. We were doing a lot of projects in our yard. I'm thankful that I have a yard to work in, and we'd be out there doing projects and our neighbors would stop and just be like, hey, how's it going? You know, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. And I was just like, this is awesome. Now I know more people in my really immediate vicinity and it makes me more connected to them and want to help them. And that just, if you can feel that in your heart, right? It just feels good.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have been able to make this move if I didn't have the community that I have online. And that I know it's online and I know it's not the same, but I've been building, you know, our main program is a community program. And it's a really tight-knit community of about 30 people, some of whom have been working with me for 7 years. And so I know them intimately and I know them really, really well. And so I've got that bond and we've been talking every day. And actually, you know, when I made the move, Jonathan joined the business, we doubled down and we said to our community, let's give you double sessions. So you have me and him for no extra charge for the whole time. And that if I didn't have that, moving here would have been really difficult, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. Then that's the positive in the internet as well. We get that online support.
I say that, and then our internet's being patchy. So if you're listening and it's patchy for you, I'm really sorry.
Technology.
So when did you start kiteboarding?
I started kiteboarding about, I think, 11 years ago now. And it was my dad, actually, that got me into it. So I was in college, and I was in my freshman year of college. University. And he had learned how to kite the summer before I did. And actually, so my mom died when I was 16. And after that time, my dad kind of, I mean, I think him learning to kite was looking to fill that void a little bit. And so he had this wild hair idea of, oh, I'm going to go learn this extreme sport. And I had no idea even what kiteboarding was. So the next summer, my dad said to my three brothers and I, we're going to learn to kite. And I was like, what? I've never even heard of this sport. What are we doing? And like, okay, show me some videos. I'm like, okay, all right, guess we're going to go do that. And I really owe him a lot because he introduced me. I mean, my life would be completely different now. Everything I do is based around kiteboarding, and it's really allowed me to form close connections, have social integration, because the kite community itself is this awesome, supportive community. Yeah. And then really be attuned and one with nature. And then finally, it's really given me a lot of confidence. And that's where now my entire three businesses are infused with helping other people, women especially, build up their confidence through sport or just believing in themselves. So I, now I've been kiteboarding for over 10 years and it's everything. It's everything.
I grew up in a household that probably, you know, skateboarding was the thing in our household. Right. And so I stood by the sidelines for a long time. I had all my boyfriends were skaters. Both my brothers skate. And so again, that community, it isn't just limited to the people on the boards, right? Like, it's this whole thing of people gathering around. And so I kind of assumed that kiteboarding is the same. Actually, I know in the town where I grew up, the kiteboarding community are also really tight with the surfers and other people. So unlike skating, where they're like, you can't be a roller booter, I am a skater, you know, there's that kind of tribal thing that happens. I'm interested whether that crosses the sea, right? Like, is that community like, how is it? Is it open to other people or
It is super open. I mean, there are definitely different disciplines in kiteboarding. So you have racing, you have freestyle, you have wave riding, you have tons of different disciplines. But because there are so many different ways that you can take it, I think that it's very supportive in just diversity and having a variety of ways to get on the water. Mm. Also, it's a little bit of a shit storm to learn. So you're swallowing a lot of water in the beginning. Yeah. It's kind of like, whoa, what's happening? And you're going to get drug around quite a bit. And then also when you're out there, we call them kitemares. So I don't want this to scare anybody off, but instead of a nightmare, it's a kitemare where it's just something goes wrong. You know, you're out in the water and like your kite deflates and then you have to get back into the beach. So it's a little bit of a jumping over hurdles to get to where you're a proficient kiteboarder. And so that I think really creates this idea of, okay, we've gone through this together. You know, we've kind of gone through what is the shitstorm of learning the kiteboard together. And it's made us both more resilient. And then also we have that natural bond together. So I don't want to say it's like going to war together. I think that's much different extreme, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like you do something hard together and then you get through it and you're like, cool, we're great.
But so much for me, like that's what adulting is really about, right? Like, that's what deeper connections are about. It's like when we stay in committed relationships, healthy, committed relationships. So many of the people that I work with come from, like, have experienced codependency or enmeshment or like, and have never really seen healthy relationships modeled. And so I think, you know, something like this, I've seen it with rock climbing and stuff like that as well. It's like where there's a dangerous edge, people really have each other's back and there's a commitment there, right? Like, you can't kiteboard or mountain climb without commitment. And so you learn what it's like to be in a healthy relationship where you can be scared and be caught and vice versa. And I think that that's, I don't know, I feel like that's such a huge part of learning to be a confident, whole, rounded adult.
Yes, I love that. And I love that you bring that up because it is such a precarious balance between pushing yourself outside of where your fear lies and then letting that fear keep you safe. So I think a lot of times we butt up against what we find to be scary and where we don't want to go outside of our comfort zone. But there's a difference between the fear that is good, healthy fear that will keep you, you know, actually safe, like physically okay. And then also that your ego fear that wants to keep you in your little box where it's like, I'm safe in here, I'm comfortable. No, to get to the next level, you need to push yourself out and really be okay with, once again, falling down a little bit or crashing kiteboarding, because that's how you learn and that's how you progress. So it is and we can't do that without support. We can't do that without support.
And I think doing physical sports, extreme sports, I had it also when I was snowboarding, when I was learning to snowboard, it is, it's a really great intersection for those two fears, because it's your ego that stops you from asking for help, right? And then the danger's like, fuck it, help. And this thing happens. And like you, I don't know if that's your experience, but for me, like breaking through that ego to actually ask for help often comes from being in actual danger. I most people don't have to go to that length to ask for help. But I'm definitely someone who, when I was younger, would rather run, you know, would rather hurt myself than ask for help.
Yeah. And I think the physical part of that is a really good example of how we do that. Because when you put yourself physically in danger and you're like, okay, I need to ask for help, it really opens that up. But a lot of times mentally, when we're trying to push ourselves out and we're not physically in danger, we're just kind of like mentally holding ourselves back. It can be a lot harder to be like, I need help with this, let my ego down. So that's a really good example, but probably depends on the person as well, whether physically they...
No, but I think what happens when you do it physically, so like the reason why snowboarding, kiteboarding, mountain climbing, like all of those sports and activities are so good for personal development as well. And the reason that you've ended up in this place of empowering people and teaching confidence and helping them do that is that when we ask for help and it happens and we are supported, then we learn that it's safe to. And so then we normalize it and we become much more adept at it. And so then when we are in that mental place of fear, it's like we're not a separate brain from a body. So if we know it works physically, then it's going to work mentally as well. It's that link, like, you know, when you've climbed all day but you can't think, or when you've written a whole essay or something and you can't move, it's like we have this body mind connection. Mm. So if we learn something somewhere, it crosses over into somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that I love kiteboarding so much is that it's really allowed me, and I pulled myself back a lot too. Like sometimes I'll find myself saying to myself, I can't do it. You know, I'll be trying to learn a new trick and my boyfriend's on the water pushing me. And of course he's yelling at me and I'm like, stop yelling at me. I am trying. But then in my mind, I'm like, I can't do it. You know, of course I'm not going to be able to do it. And so it's really allowing ourselves to be okay with that failure again. And that's a lot of what I've learned in my business is just try. You know, showing up and trying is everything. And we put too much emphasis on the end result. And, you know, it's not all about the successes that you achieve. It's not all about getting to the finish line. It's the process. We're always in process. We're always growing. And it's being okay with just putting yourself out there and trying and then really enjoying that process. And I think it's a lot harder to do when we have all these pressures of sometimes what's in the adult world of you have to get to a certain point. You have to buy a house. You have to buy a car. You have to do this. You have to do that. It's like, you know, we're just showing up and trying and doing our best. And as long as we're continuing to enjoy the process and continuing to allow ourselves to grow in a way that's healthy and beautiful, then it, you know, you make a beautiful life. So letting go of the result and the end has been huge for me in my business. And it's a daily thing of, okay, you know, we're going to try this. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to be okay with just seeing what happens.
Such a powerful lesson. And it's such a powerful lesson when you're really looking at the other side of your business, right? Like this body confidence piece, the kind of feeling okay in ourselves, not being so focused on this kind of external all the time, which, you know, let's face it, for me has taken most of my life to get to a place where I can even stand in a bikini around other people, right? And it's it's such a edgy topic still. And I really wish it wasn't.
No, and I do wanna touch on that a bit because I am really passionate about body positivity. And so for podcast viewers, I'm very fit. I work out a lot, I kiteboard, and I take good care of my body. I still judge myself every single day. And I have to admit, I don't tell people this because it's embarrassing. And I've started to try and break the habit, but for like, I swear the last 10 years from college, I had a little bit of college weight, you know, freshman 15. And ever since then, every day, almost every single day, I'll stand in front of the mirror in my bathroom, lift up my shirt and, you know, judge my stomach. That's kind of I'm going to put in air quotes, problem area for me. From the outside looking at me, like I look at photos and I've gotten a lot better about not judging it. I'm in great shape, mm-hmm. You know, and at one point I feel like it's not okay for me to say that I have issues with my body, because for the outside perspective, I have a pretty great body. Mm. You know, I'm just going to say that and claim it. But I've just, you know, honestly, Ebony, in the last couple of weeks, I've been like, I need to break this habit. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years where I look at myself in the mirror and judge my stomach. It's so unhealthy to do that, because I just put, you know, some days you're bloated, you're on your period. What are you doing? You know, it's like, I don't need that judgment every day. So instead, I've been really trying to train myself, look in the mirror and point out something positive. You know, my eyes look beautiful today. Like, let's stop the habit. At this point, it's become a habit, and I've been doing it for 10 years, and it's just creating more judgment. So I just want to say that, because
I think it's really important and really brave of you to share it. So thank you. And I feel like, you know, it's, I wish people knew. So I have a program called Embodied Wisdom, and we look at it not just physically, but intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, our relationship with our body. Mm. And just like you said, it's like, you are sporty, you're active, you help people, other people with body confidence, right? And this is still something that has sneaked in through the patriarchy and society and the way that it is. And it's really interesting to me. You know, I love that the world is starting to change. But even I look on so many websites for bikinis. I now live in Spain. I'm like, I want a million bikinis. But even then, they stop at a certain size, right? And so there's still this, like, you can only wear one if you're these sizes. And that, yeah. It's like, it's so, it's those subtle little what feels like microaggressions against, you know, fat bodies.
Yeah.
And I wish we could come to a place where we really understood that fat or thin doesn't equate to healthy or not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it also doesn't equate to how much you should be able to participate in a sport or wear a bikini. And I think that's a big thing for me. And right now it's a hard thing as someone that owns a swimwear brand.
Yeah.
So some of our sizes go up to 2XL, and it's my goal to expand that. And we've shot with plus size models, and I really want to show a variety of body sizes. It gets tough as a small business owner, because sometimes you have to balance, like, what's actually selling, and those pieces sometimes sit on the shelf and don't sell, and I can't make a lot of them. But I think the really important thing for me as a brand owner is to empower women of all sizes to go out and do the things they love, because I think that's the limitation. Is I want people of all sizes to paddleboard, to surf, to kiteboard. And if you don't see someone that looks like you doing the thing that you want to do, you're not as apt to try it, right? It's that relatability. It's seeing someone that is similar to how you are that makes you believe that you can do it. And so that's really my goal, is just to empower people of all sizes and colors and different backgrounds to enjoy the sports that I love so much and really become engrossed in the outdoors. And I think that just brings up all our mental health. It brings up so many good things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a something that I've worked on as someone that has a swimwear brand, because yeah, it's such a tricky thing.
It is tricky. You know, I've got I'm working with lots of clients who have clothing lines, and, you know, doing some bespoke stuff has been one way that they've been able to do it and slowly grow. And then sometimes it is like show, like, people don't buy it because they don't see anyone else wearing it. And then, so it's like, it's that thing. And so I really hope, and it really feels that way to me. And it, again, it may just be I've unfollowed everyone that made me feel bad and followed loads of people that look more like me, so that I can actually do that exact thing that you're talking about, right? It's like, it's really important, because on a subliminal level, when we see people that look like us, we believe that we can do something. And I feel like there are so many things about this year that have been tough, but the way that the world is kind of making us face these things that we've put under the carpet before or not really looked at, whether it's around Black Lives Matter, whether it's around, like, the way that we pay men more than women, like, all of these issues, we can't push them away anymore. And so it feels really good to look at them, even if the looking is uncomfortable.
Yes. Because that's how you realize that you can change and you can grow. When you don't look at the things that you have wrong inside yourself or that are wrong in society, then you're right. You're just pushing it under the carpet. And that just kind of gives me shivers, because I have faith that what you're saying is the truth, in that we are identifying these issues that are a greater part of our society and our world, and we're ready to face them and change them.
I hope so.
Yeah. I have faith that we do.
Well, I do in the basis that we are the change we want to see in the world. Mm. Like, we literally are doing it with putting the extra sizes on, or asking the questions, or saying, if I haven't done this right and somebody wants to tell me a different way or educate me, please do. And that tiny little nudge from being defensive to being open to hear another way, whatever the topic, is again adulting in some way, right? We always thought, growing up at least, I was like, adults know everything. And we don't, you know, we just pretend we do a lot of the time.
We pretend we do, but we just need to be open. You're right. And that's been my word the last little bit, is staying open, like heart open to everything that's happening, even if it's hard, allow myself to feel it, to work through it, and then sinking into ease. You know, it's okay. I can handle things with ease and grace. So that's my mantra for 2020.
It's a good one to have. I love that. Okay. If people want to come find any of your businesses, where, I'm going to put all the links in and everything, where's the best place for them to come and to kind of find out more about you and what you do and where you're at?
Yeah, Instagram for sure. Instagram is my handle, Sensi Graves, and it's Sensi Graves. And then my swimwear is Sensi Swim. And I'd love to have anyone on there asking questions. I have kiteboarding retreats and do private kite coaching. So if you want to learn to kite and you're in the States, look me up. But then I also do confidence coaching and working on positive body resilience and just feeling good about yourself, because we all need that, right? We all need to feel good about ourselves to be effective change makers in the world. And so most of the info is Sensi Graves on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, as I said, we've got all your links. We'll put them in so people can click through in the show notes. And will you end on an I'm an adult, but it's just a bit of fun with me?
Yeah. I'm an adult, but I'm always falling flat on my face. I'm an adult, but I'm learning something new every single day.
Yeah. I am an adult, but the more childlike I am, the more I enjoy my life.
That one really is resonating, Emily. Yeah. Take that one home.
I have a swimming pool in my garden now, lifelong dream. But it's not like an Olympic pool. It's a weird, like, this is a holiday house shape. So it makes swimming lengths really difficult in it. And so it's been really good for me to like get over the like, all the like, I did my ankle, so I can't, I rolled my ankle on a hike, so I can't do front crawl at the moment. I have to do breaststroke. But even trying to do breaststroke in this pool, I don't look like a kind of mother in the swimming pool. I look like a kid, because it's just too much fun. You know, there's that kind of edge of like, yeah, I think taking playfulness into everything we do is such a gift.
That's a great reminder. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. I've really enjoyed this chat.
Yeah, thank you, Ebony. That was great. The internet, just connecting people. We love it.
Yeah. This has been Adulting with Ebony.
I have been Ebony.
You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am at Ebony Allard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.